Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 15th, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined, Beautify Decatur Coalition, Making Decatur Pretty as Can Be. Community organizations, volunteers, brighten up downtown with flowers, by Danette Beckett. Decatur. Deneira Green doesn't describe herself as a gardener, but she found herself on a workday planting flowers around downtown Decatur. We live here, so we want to make it beautiful, she said. Green and other employees volunteering with ADM Cares were one of several groups partnering with the Beautify Decatur Coalition to plant flowers throughout the downtown area. Evan Burgett delivered the flowers from locally owned Connie's Greenhouse to the various areas, including the 22 hanging baskets suspended throughout Central Park. The staff began preparing the baskets in April. We always enjoy doing it, helping out the community, he said. We look forward to it every year. It's nice to get out and help the community every year. The planters have a variety of flowers that require sun and shaded areas. Some of the flowers include bubblegum petunias, creeping jennies, diamond frost, blanket flowers, and begonias. This is the first year we've split them up between sun and shade, Bridget said. The trees are getting so much longer and bigger, we had to throw in some shade ones. The staff from Connie's Greenhouse also water the plants daily. But the planters downtown, we do about every 2 to 3 days, Bridget said. Lisa Flora is a board member of the Beautify Decatur Coalition who helped Bridget organize the hanging plant locations. I want to make Decatur look as pretty as it can be, she said about her volunteer work, and I just love flowers. The coalition hosts the planting event each year during the first week after Mother's Day. That's the frost-free date in our growing zone, said Kathy Sorensen. We cannot have all our plants killed by frost. As a member of the Beautify Decatur Coalition and Decatur Garden Club, Sorensen helped manage the plant distribution for Tuesday's event. I work with groups, and they've been part of the coalition in a way, she said. I have one contact person per group. They get the volunteers. Partnering volunteers included Golden K. Kiwanis, City of Decatur, ADM Cares, and members of the Garden Club of Decatur. The coalition raises money to order the flowers. The Garden Club of Decatur will meet again throughout the year to decorate the planters with holiday and seasonal decor near South Main and West Main streets. When we're working at those planters at Lincoln Square, people come by and thank us, Sorensen said. Then we have vandalism too. Volunteers have asked the community to help curb the destruction by cleaning up, as well as stopping the act in progress, because these are all Decatur's flowers, said Jill Davis, coalition member. Denise Reeter volunteered with other ADM Cares employees, tending to planters outside the ADM City Center where she works. Flowers always brighten somebody's day, she said. Encouraging other employees to do the same is simple, Reeter said. Usually, they don't have trouble getting anybody to help, she said. Whenever they need help, they ask for volunteers. Tending to the downtown Decatur planters is just one of the volunteer opportunities in which the employees take part. Tuesday's weather helped make the process a bit better. You couldn't have picked a better day, Reeter said. This article is accompanied by 5 full-color photos, attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned, ADM Cares volunteers Deneira Green, Timori Jones, and David Carney plant petunias in a planter in downtown Decatur with the Beautify Decatur Coalition on May 13th. The second is captioned, Evan Burgett of Connie's Country Greenhouse in Latham delivers hanging baskets to be hung in Central Park in Decatur on Tuesday, May 13th. The Beautify Decatur Coalition was leading flower planting throughout the downtown area. The third is captioned, ADM Cares volunteer Danira Green plants a petunia in downtown Decatur with the Beautify Decatur Coalition on Tuesday, May 13th. The fourth caption reads, "Members of the Beautify Decatur Coalition finish planting flowers in downtown Decatur on Tuesday, May 13th. And the final photo, which shows several women standing around a planter, is captioned, "Members of the Beautify Decatur Coalition finish planting flowers in downtown Decatur on Tuesday, May 13th. Courts. Lawyers spar on treatment center site. Mental health, substance use facility seen as incompatible near school. By Tony Reed, Decatur. Lawyers for St. Teresa High School pulled no punches Wednesday in the opening round of a legal battle to knock out a project to park a massive mental health and substance abuse treatment facility next to the school campus. At issue is the planned $43 million move of the Heritage Behavioral Health Center from its current home in downtown Decatur to the 130,000 square foot site of the empty Northgate Mall. St. Teresa is seeking a court injunction to block the scheme, and lawyers for HBHC have countered with a motion to dismiss in Macon County Circuit Court. Attorney Gerald H. Stocks, representing the school, claimed problems ranging from indecent exposure to public defecation and violence are already plaguing the downtown neighborhood where HBHC is now. He said the move north next to the school's home at 2710 North Water Street would see a massive 250% increase in the number of disturbed clients, some with a history of sex offenses, that HBHC will serve, and so will pose a danger to students. He told Judge Phoebe Bowers at Wednesday's court hearing that allowing HBHC to become St. Teresa's neighbor represented an existential threat to the school's existence. Society may present fewer stark contrasts than the predator, HBHC client, against prey, St. Teresa High School student, impelled to coexist in the same immediate locality, he said in a court filing. And in comments to the judge in the courtroom, he added, "I have seen this community make a lot of bad decisions. But can you imagine anything more starkly incompatible than taking the most seriously disturbed persons and mixing them with youth?" HBHC attorney Lisa Petrilli hit back, counter-arguing that all St. Teresa has to offer by way of evidence to support its argument are disputed claims and speculation. She told Bowers that St. Teresa was sensationalizing the conduct it believes might be carried out by others and trying to attribute that to HBHC. Petrilli said all that HBHC was proposing to do was provide a much-needed service to the community, and none of that activity would in any way hurt the operation of St. Teresa High School. She said the school was desperate to conjure up the specter of a threat that wasn't real as a means to justify a complaint that essentially says, "We don't want this in our backyard." Bauer said she will now consider the arguments and will give a decision in writing. If she doesn't grant the HBHC motion to dismiss, it sets the stage for a trial to decide the issue of the injunction. Shelbyville, kids rock out school year's end at festival. By Danette Beckett. Shelbyville. If you want to know the words to the classic 1980s song Walk Like an Egyptian, ask a first grader from Main Street Elementary School and Kindergarten Center in Shelbyville. Parker Webb, 7, even knows the dance moves popular with the 1986 hit by the Bangles. However, she has her favorite song from the decade of decadence. "I love rock and roll," she said, "because it's really fun." "And we're rocking to it," said Parker's classmate, Kendrick Mack. The students performed several 1980s songs as part of the main event, an end-of-the-year festival at Forest Park in Shelbyville. Activities also included games, inflatables, visits from first responders, and food. in front of families and friends, each class in kindergarten through third grade sang and danced in the historic Chautauqua building. Music teacher Patty Tynan, a child during the 1980s, prepared the music for the students' performances. We sang the songs and talked a little bit about what life was like back then, the hair and the clothes, she said. Principal Ryan Scott estimated more than 1,000 community members attended the event. We call it the main event, mostly because of a play on the Main Street Elementary School, he said. The park activities, including face painting, balloon art, food, inflatables, and other games, were successful because of volunteers from the Shelbyville High School National Honor Society, Shelbyville Fire Department, Air Evac, and other first responders. High school junior Miley Hall and sophomore Audrey Durbin helped the children with a sidewalk bowling game. The former elementary school students had a different experience when they were children. The main event was held at the school more than 10 years ago, they said. The whole town's involved now, Audrey said. I think it was just teachers, Miley said. They try to make it a lot bigger, involving a lot more people. Miley is a member of the National Honor Society. The main event helps the local academic organization, she said. It just gets us recognition so that people know that we're out there, she said. We have a lot of charity events, so people will know to contact us to get the help when they need it. The event was originally designed as a fundraiser nearly 20 years ago. The students have since been able to earn school resource money through other activities, such as a readathon. The main event is now devoted to having a good time, Scott said. It's just important for the family-school-community relationship. He said, a Mayberry picnic. That's what my motivation was. Alice Jennings and her daughter Violet Cole, 10, waited in a line of approximately 20 others for a balloon animal. But they didn't mind the wait. She just really likes balloons, Jennings said. Jennings' third grader, Anastasia Jennings, brought the family to the event. But she's running around with a friend, her mom said. We're going to make memories with everyone. According to their mother, Anastasia learned some trends while preparing for the 1980s theme performances. She was telling me about what 80s people wear. And they used to play Pac-Man, Jennings said. I said, are you fully paying attention? Because if that's all you got. This article is accompanied by 3 full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned, Aria McConnell, 2, plays in bubbles during the main event end of the year festival for kindergarten through third grade from Main Street Elementary School and Kindergarten Center at Forest Park in Shelbyville on Tuesday, May 13th. The second photo shows a lot of little children standing on risers and is captioned, First graders perform a song during the main event, end of the year festival for kindergarten through third grade from Main Street Elementary School and Kindergarten Center at Forest Park in Shelbyville on Tuesday, May 13th. And the third photo is a close-up shot of some of those children and is captioned, First graders perform Walk Like an Egyptian during the main event, end of the year festival for kindergarten through third grade from Main Street Elementary School and Kindergarten Center at Forest Park in Shelbyville on Tuesday, May 13th. Police seek tips in arson case by Danette Beckett, Decatur. The Decatur Police Department needs the public's help in locating a person suspected of starting a structure fire, this week's crime of the week. According to a news release issued by Officer Tucker Toole with the Decatur Police Department, officers responded to a report of a fire at approximately 9:25 p.m. on May 5th to a vacant residence in the 600 block of East Wood Street. Both police and fire personnel arrived on the scene and confirmed that no individuals were located in or around the residence, he said. However, police were able to obtain surveillance footage from a neighboring property. The images depict a suspect exiting the vacant home just prior to the start of the fire. The suspect is described as a thin-billed white male wearing a black hat, blue jacket, black pants, and black shoes, Toole stated in the news release. The individual was also seen carrying an orange backpack. The images are available on the Macon County Crime Stoppers website under the Crime of the Week section. Anyone with information on the arson should call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-TIPS. Crime Stoppers will pay $500 or more for information that leads to an arrest on the Crime of the Week. Correction. A production error caused three paragraphs of the Police Seek Tips in Arson Case story to be placed at the end of the 4 years in prison for sixth DUI conviction story on page A6 of the Tuesday, May 13th Herald and Review. The complete Crime of the Week story is being republished on page A2. That is the story that I just read. Driver in fatal crash admits failure to report, by Tony Reed, Decatur. Brandon T. Blue now admits he was the driver who ran over a Decatur cyclist and then drove away, leaving the bleeding victim with fatal injuries. The collision happened on the night of September 27th, 2024, in the 700 block of North Oakland Avenue. Police patrols, responding to 911 calls, found 52-year-old Richard R. Brandt unresponsive with a massive and bloody head wound. He would die in hospital a few days later. Blue, 41, had been due to face trial Monday in Macon County Circuit Court on charges that included aggravated driving under the influence of alcohol in a crash involving death and driving while suspended or revoked. But the defendant, held in custody since his arrest October 2nd, made an appearance in court May 9th and said he was willing to admit to a charge of failure to report a crash involving death. The plea was part of a deal negotiated by defense attorney Lindsay Evans that saw the other charges dropped, along with several additional traffic offenses, including illegally transporting alcohol. Blue will be brought back to court for sentencing June 17th by presiding Judge Thomas Griffith, and remains in the custody of the Macon County Jail. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said Blue's sport utility vehicle had been found abandoned at the intersection of North Oakland Avenue and West Sirogordo Street after the collision. Officer Corey Blair, who signed the affidavit, said paint scrape marks on the hood matched the color of Brandt's mangled bicycle. Blue was soon traced as the vehicle driver, but is quoted as denying everything. He spun a story about the vehicle having been for sale and an unknown man taking it for a test drive and never coming back. Blair said police had pulled surveillance video that clearly showed Blue had been the driver, however, and the defendant's credibility wasn't helped by the fact that he appeared so drunk he had trouble speaking, and police noted his glassy, bloodshot eyes that were half-masked. Some of the surveillance video was from a liquor store that showed Blue buying a pint of tequila on the afternoon of the fatal crash. And then more video from the store showed Blue returning shortly after the collision to buy another pint of the liquor. School Board okays higher facility spending limit, by Valerie Wells, Decatur. The Decatur Public Schools Buildings and Grounds Department has long had a blanket purchase order authorization for supplies and materials that might be necessary right now, so they don't have to wait for a board approval in the middle of a project. At Tuesday's board meeting, with several projects underway and facing price increases on those supplies and materials, the school board raised that limit, formerly $24,999, to $39,999, to allow Buildings and Grounds to finish the fiscal year and current projects. The meeting was the first for the four new board members elected in April and seated on May 7th, though new members Devin Joyner and Christina Tyus were absent from the meeting. For another item on the agenda, the first read of new board policies, Chief Operational Officer Mike Curry gave a brief explanation of how changes to board policies work for the new board members. The Illinois Association of School Boards provides suggested changes to board policies based on the advice of their attorneys when laws are changed or old policies have become outdated. Curry said he provided copies of the policies and a Reader's Digest recap of the changes to each board member, and they can review the changes and ask him any questions before the policies are brought to a vote. The last day of school for the 2024-25 school year will be May 22nd, with graduation at 11 a.m. Saturday, May 17th, for MacArthur High School, and 2:30 p.m. that day for Eisenhower. Both graduations will be held in the respective school's gymnasiums, with tickets required for entry. The first Prep Academy graduates will also participate in Richland Community College's graduation at 7 p.m. Friday, May 16th, in the Decatur Civic Center. Tickets are not required to attend that ceremony. Honoring veterans. 100 area vets set to soar in honor flight by Olivia Jacobs, Springfield. Nearly 100 veterans from across central Illinois are set to fly to the nation's capital next month on the next Land of Lincoln Honor Flight event. The nonprofit organization's 74th trip on Tuesday, June 3rd, is slated to include 96 veterans, with 90 who served during the Vietnam War era and 6 from the Korean War era. The donor-funded flights are free for veterans and their families. The 66 communities represented by the participants include Beeson, Bloomington, Blue Mound, Charleston, Chatham, Cooksville, Decatur, Effingham, Eureka, Fairbury, Forest, Gibson City, Iliopolis, Lovington, Mattoon, Monticello, Mount Pulaski, Pontiac, Secor, Springfield, Tuscola, Weldon, and Windsor. Veterans and their families will report to the Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Springfield at 4 a.m. June 3rd and travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the World War II, Korean, and Vietnam War memorials, Arlington National Cemetery and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Lincoln Memorial, the National Air and Space Museum, the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial, and the U.S. Air Force Memorial. The group will return to the Springfield Airport around 9:30 p.m. Friends, family, community members, and former Honor Flight alumni are invited to gather and welcome the arriving veterans, a homecoming that some did not receive when they returned from their military service. Parking at the airport is free, and a shuttle bus will be available to take participants to the airport terminal door, the organization said. Veteran and guardian applications for future honor flights are available at landoflincolnhonorflight.org. There is a flightless honor flight program for veterans who are unable to fly. Honor flights have served more than 5,700 Central Illinois veterans. Other 2025 trips are planned for September 9th and October 21st. Feds check robo-taxi risk, by Bernard Condon, AP Business Writer, New York. Federal safety regulators have asked Elon Musk's car company to explain how its driverless taxis will avoid causing accidents when they hit the road in Texas next month before a national robo-taxi launch that is key to keeping its stock price aloft. Tesla has been told to provide information on how its taxis will operate safely in Austin, Texas, when there is fog, sun glare, rain, and other low visibility conditions that have been tied to accidents involving the company's driver assistance software. Those accidents, including one that killed a pedestrian, triggered the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to launch an investigation in October of 2.4 million of Musk's vehicles. The billionaire reassured investors on an earnings call last month that the robo-taxi service would launch in Austin as planned and would quickly lead to millions of robo-taxis and other autonomous self-driving Teslas operating around the country by the end of the year. We expect a green light after Tesla's response, but the big focus is on more widespread launches in the U.S. after the Austin pilot kicks off, said Wedbush Securities stock analyst Dan Ives. It's a pivotal time for Musk. On that same call, Musk said he was stepping back from his work as President Donald Trump's government cost-cutting czar. Tesla's shares have risen 45% since, but they're still down about 17% year-to-date. Regulators routinely request safety information from automakers, and NHTSA's order itself is not alarming, though it could lead to delays of the Austin launch if Tesla's answers to the 9-page letter made public by the agency on Monday are not satisfactory. The agency gave Tesla until June 19th to provide a response. Federal regulators have limited powers over new Tesla taxis that operate without a steering wheel or brake pedals because there are no national regulations on self-driving technology. One fallback is that the vehicles themselves must still pass long-standing safety checks. NHTSA can force a recall, either voluntarily by Tesla or by ordering a recall, said Ann Carlson, the former acting NHTSA chief. The agency cannot, however, require some sort of pre-approval before Tesla can launch. In the letter, regulators posed several questions to Tesla in addition to those about low visibility conditions. They asked for the number and models of the taxis, when and where the taxis will be deployed in the next several months, how they will be monitored remotely by Tesla in real time, the cameras and other sensors being used to guide the vehicles, the specific measures used to judge whether they are navigating the streets in a safe way, and the names of people at Tesla making those evaluations. In his investor conference call last month, Musk spoke of an effortless driving future coming within months. "Can you go to sleep in our cars and wake up at your destination?" the billionaire asked, then answered, "I'm confident that will be available in many cities in the U.S. by the end of this year." If such a future doesn't come soon, the company could struggle to justify the stock's still high price. Tesla reported a 71% drop in profits in the first quarter as it faced angry protests over Musk's embrace of extreme right-wing politicians in Europe and his role in cutting government jobs that has divided the country. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 15th, 2025. Please stay tuned.